All right, praise the Lord. It is good to see you all here. Thank you for being here this evening on a Wednesday night. Appreciate all of the hospitality, the way that this place, each time I have come here, has helped me to feel like I am home, even though this is not my home church. It's a real blessing to be here every time. You guys have done a fantastic job. Thank you for your hospitality, and it's just a blessing for me to be here, and I hope you're blessed as well. I want to go ahead and get right into the message because I am aware of the time. I know how long you've been here. The messages have been great so far. But if you wouldn't mind turning with me to the book of Job, when you think of the word integrity, which is the focus word of the verse that's behind me on the banner, one of those that you should think of is Job. And as you think of Job, like Thomas and the things that he went through this morning that was talked about by Brother Benenstall, and then Joseph and the things that he went through, it seems kind of a theme for our day today. It is easy to think about your own integrity and maybe puff yourself up and say, yeah, you know, I can handle that, and yep, I've got some integrity, and I've got some determination, I'm going to serve the Lord. But it is another thing for that integrity to be tested. And I believe with all my heart that God is right in doing that, in everything that he does. But in order for integrity to be genuine, for it to really be there, not just for others to see it, but for God to see it, and then you to be able to realize it in yourself, this is the integrity we want, that integrity must be tested. It has to be. And I believe with all my heart that anybody who's going to go on to serve the Lord in any serious capacity, you're going to go through hard things. They're not all the same for everybody. Joseph didn't go through what Job went through. And by the way, whatever you've been through, you've not been through what Job was through. I have to say that as a pastor because I have people often say things like that when their dog dies. Well, you know, God tested Job too. It's not the same thing. It just isn't. I know you love Fluffy or Pukey or whatever the dog's name was, but it's not the same thing. When you analyze what Job went through, this man went through some unbelievable things. And by the way, integrity is a word that God uses for Job. Not himself using it for himself, describing himself. How would you describe yourself, Job? Well, I'm a man of integrity. Job's going to describe himself in a much different way than that at the end of the book that we'll look at by the end of the message. And it's not integrity. But the fact that he doesn't use it proves he actually has it. Look with me at Job, and again, you're familiar, but let's maybe look at this in reference to integrity and think about the things that you've gone through so far, the things that the last preacher just shared with us, Brother Knickerbocker, in a fantastic way about God being right in everything that he does. He has integrity, and he's testing yours to see if it's genuine. And that's what he's doing here and showing integrity also. I know there's a lot, but he's even showing it to Satan. Because Satan doesn't really get what it is. Because he thinks if anybody went through tough, they'd do what he did, rebel. But God has to show him through a human example what integrity is, while testing Job's integrity. Again, look at Job chapter 2. And you know, I think, what has already happened in the first chapter. And then this is the second chapter. And God himself takes the responsibility for all of the bad things that have happened. He doesn't say, it was the devil's fault. God takes responsibility here. Notice that. Because ultimately your beef, if you have a complaint about what's happening in your life, it's your beef is with God. So here's Job chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, then we'll stop and pray. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking down, up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, for the second time in the book, he brings his name up and says, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I'm going to stop right here and have a word of prayer before we go much further. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for all of the things that we've been able to go through in this week so far. It's truly been a blessing. The music has been a blessing. I just enjoyed the worship tonight so much. Genuine people worshiping the Lord, not flesh, just lifting up and exalting you. And what a miracle. That's one of the songs that we just sang. Not only crown him with many crowns, but that God should love a sinner such as I. Wow. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you most of all for your word. Your word is everything. It sets everything straight. It straightens out our head, straightens out our lives, helps us to know. It's all things that pertain to life and godliness. It just, Lord, you've given us everything. I thank you for it. Would you help us to see it in maybe a little different light? Be reminded maybe of some things that we'd thought about before and forgotten. I don't know exactly who in this room has thought through Job and the story of it and what you were doing, what Job did, what Satan's doing, the friends, the wife, the children, all these characters that are mentioned in this this wonderful book, and not just this chapter, but this book. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to maybe see it in a different way and to think about some things in a different way. And Lord, think about how they apply, not just to Job, but ultimately the goal, to each of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Please guide us through this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Man, I really do want to try to be a help to you tonight. I want you to know that. And again, I'm glad that the message for the alumni this morning was kind of a challenge and a rebuke and an encouragement all at the same time, because that's what I get every time I read the Bible. I get rebuked every time I read it, but I'm encouraged at the same time because God loves me anyway. God loves a sinner such as I, but at the same time, I'm always reminded I'm a sinner. So there's a little bit of, yeah, remembering who I am, but praise the Lord for how he loves me anyway. So I hope this message tonight will do that same thing, and I want to try to challenge you tonight. There's a balance I'm going to try to reach tonight. I realize that the message this evening isn't, it can't be, it shouldn't be about me, and I hope you get that. And I don't mean to come across in any way tonight with a message that it is about me, but preachers sometimes use personal examples because, again, people go through hard things, and sometimes you can relate a little bit and some things that you've been through. I want to try to share that with you too, because I would say the preachers that are up here this week, any preacher that you have here, and probably anybody else in the room, you don't know all the things that they've been through. Many times, people have been through things that are unbelievable that you had no idea they've been through that. And you thought you were the only martyr. And you didn't realize that everybody goes through hard things. As I just think back through, and again, trying not to spend much time on me in my own life, but as I think back through the last few years of my life have been somewhat challenging. The reality is my son Reed, which some of you know, Reed, who lives on Reed Street in Reedsburg, who is autistic, 28 years old, lives at home, simple. He's got about a five-year-old brain, but he's got a 6'2" body. He's a great kid, but he almost died in 2019. In 2019, the doctors told me we've got to knock him out and stop him because he's spinning out of control, and it's a long story, and if we do this, it might kill him, but if we don't, he's going to die. So he almost died in 2019. In 2020, my wife almost died. My wife, actually, I got a phone call from my wife saying goodbye. She was in the hospital. They were going to intubate her. It wasn't working. She was crashing very quickly. The doctors even called me after she was intubated and said, it's not working. And so I said goodbye to my wife over the phone because the hospital wouldn't let me in because of COVID. They wouldn't even let me see my wife while she was dying. Now, it turns out she didn't die, but I got the phone call from her barely breathing on the other phone telling me we've had a good life, good marriage, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go. And it was the weirdest phone call I've ever had in my life. And then later at the very end of 2020, Christmas Eve, I myself had a heart attack. I told the people that this morning. And it's just been a weird couple of years. You go through things like that? Things are kind of strange. They are. But no matter what I've been through, I'm not Job. I'm not the martyr. And God is still just in everything that he's done. And I know the truth is I've got to think through this. Okay, it's one thing for me to stand up here and preach integrity. And then even sometimes at least try to tell people I want to have integrity. I'm working on integrity. I've got some integrity in my life. It's another thing to be tested on it. And to see how you're going to do with it. And as I read through a story like Job and read through the things that the man went through and how he handled all that, I got to tell you, I'm impressed. It's the reason he's used as the example. That's why it's the book of Job, not the book of Fred. I don't think it would turn out quite as well. And it doesn't have your name on it either. He is really quite a character. And the things that he went through are absolutely amazing. And the Lord praising him and patting him on the back and telling him that he did a good job here, or at least, I know not to his face, but it's amazing. This is what he says about Job without Job there, using him as a great example to the devil himself. Does it ever make you wonder what God says to the devil about you? I mean, really, you've got to be a pretty good guy if God's going to use you as a heavenly example. Written down for all these generations. Have you considered my servant? And then puts your name in the blank. That's amazing. That's some integrity. That's a guy who, I believe, obviously God knew how he would handle all that. But again, even knowing how that would be handled, it still has to be done. God knew how the Lord Jesus Christ would handle it. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but he had to go through it. And you will have to go through things in your life. And young people, it'll shock you sometimes, I think, the things that you're going to end up having to go through in your life. And often, as again the preacher mentioned just a little bit ago, I'm happy for a young couple when they get married and the woman is pregnant. And I realize that generally you're thinking with modern healthcare, the baby will survive. But even with modern healthcare, that's not always the case. My daughter had a stillborn a couple years ago, and it was a very weird thing. It was a very hard thing for her. It was a hard thing for me, the grandpa. There are tough things that people go through. Again, remember, God is just. He is testing you and your integrity. And I want you to think about Job and really, without belaboring this anymore, I want you to think with me, if you could, just about three simple areas in Job's life. Three simple things, and I know there's so many more things going on. Like I said, when you read through the book of Job, you probably can think about what exactly God is doing with the devil, because God brings his name up several times, using him as an example. What God is doing with Job himself, what God's doing with Job's wife, what is God doing with Job's friends? He rebukes the friends at the end. What is he doing to all of us? You realize God's doing many things with one person. And he's teaching many, and he's still teaching us. So I can't put it all down in one message, but just three simple things if I could. I want you to think about, first of all, Job and his integrity, obviously, but how that applies to Job and his children. How Job's integrity applies to Job and his children. If you'd look back with me at the book of Job in chapter 1, let's read through some things that I think you've read through before, and you know this again. Job chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Job has integrity. God praises him to the devil for his integrity and writes it down for us. But what is it that proves that Job has integrity? Well, a couple of things. Again, first, how about Job and his children? Job chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So the first thing, there's a number of things about this that I'd like you to think through. Job is a rare parent. And when I say he's a rare parent, I'm speaking to you as a pastor. There are very few parents that can be honest about their own children. Pointing out the fault in other people's children, that people are pretty good at. As a matter of fact, often if your kid gets in trouble, it's got to be some other kid's fault. And then often those children will be defended no matter what they are accused of doing or what proof. For example, the staff at Fairhaven Baptist College has. It couldn't be the kid's fault. It's got to be somebody else. Who were they influenced by? There must be unusual circumstances. It's got to be one of those scenarios, just like Brother Brennan Stahl described, where it's one of those teachers who's just being a jerk. And they're just wrongly accusing the student. See, I realized when I was a young person that there were times that I would be disciplined by my father and he was wrong. However, there were probably 10 times that I did stuff that I didn't get disciplined for, so that one time he was wrong didn't even really pay back the 10 times of things that I didn't get caught for. And the truth with our children is often we don't see them for who they really are. I believe Job understood who his kids really were. My kids, he says, if you'll think about the words that he just used, are capable of cursing God. That's what he said. It is possible they've cursed God in their hearts. My kids are capable of doing really dumb stuff. My kids are capable of cursing God. It's possible they've cursed God in their hearts. It may be that my sons have sinned. They are sinners. It is possible they've even gone so far as to curse God. Now, obviously, we understand that this is the Old Testament economy, and so in the Old Testament economy, they are actually physically offering sacrifices. We don't do that now, so you're not killing a lamb for your children every day, and I get that, but now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you think about that and make a comparison, this is him doing whatever he can, allow me to say this, I think, confessing their sin for them. Trying to do the best he can to cover their sin however he can cover it. Not hide it, but admit it before God. Admit before God what they are capable of and try the best he can to make sure that that's covered. I have to wonder in our group how often and how much we are honest about our children. And then actually praying for them realistically. Which again, we don't offer physical sacrifices, right? But we do have a lamb slain from the foundation of the world that we are supposed to remember that that's the blood that cleanses us from sin. And that confession of sin, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know when my children, now my son Reed still lives at home with us, but my daughter is now married and I've got grandchildren. But I still have on a list that I made a number of years ago, I have kind of a prayer journal and things that I pray through. And I pray through and I pray for my son and my daughter, knowing a number of things, by the way, not just that they are capable, but remembering where they came from. And that the things that go through my dumb head are very possibly going through their head as well. The things that I struggle with, they probably struggle with too. And then that helps me to be honest with my Savior about myself and then my offspring, my children. And I take them daily before the Lord and ask the Lord to watch out for them, protect them from doing some of the same thing, dumb things that I've done, and then to keep them properly in his will. Help them to see their sin. Job is honest about his children, and I believe some of the integrity that God is, again, if you would allow me to say it this way, I suppose, bragging about Job in front of the devil for his integrity, using him as a great example at least, some of that comes from his honesty about his children. He knows that they're sinners. By the way, if you're ever reading through then the book of Job and you get to the chapters where his friends say basically that God killed his kids because they were sinners, remember how much that would hurt after he's already admitted they were sinners and did all this sacrificing for them. Tell me something I don't know. That was really quite the insult. He's admitting the sinners that they are. He is trying to cover that the best that he can with the blood of the sacrifices. And then not only that, in chapter 1 and verse number 20, again, you know these words. I think you've probably read through this even. Most people who understand at least the story of Job have read the first couple of chapters and maybe kind of skip some of the middle where the friends are doing all the talking. But in the first couple of chapters, chapter 1 and verse number 20, when they actually do die, you know how this works. The camels and the sheep and the other things are taken away from them, and the devil is smacking one thing after another. And that's pretty much the way it works. It seems like when the devil wants to test you and that God is going to allow this integrity to be tested, the troubles seem to come one right on top of another. And this is what happens in Job's life. And obviously one of the hardest things for him is his kids die. And I want you to think about that. God actually does kill them all. And I say God kills them all because ultimately you got to deal with God on this thing. Whether God did it or allowed it, it turns out the same. And oh, by the way, again, remember at the end of the book of Job, when it all comes down, God doesn't say, hey, look, none of that stuff was my idea. That was Satan's idea. God doesn't even say that. God says basically to Job, who are you to question me? What do you know? You think I don't know what I'm doing? Where were you when I did it all? God takes the blame. Because by the way, you'll see that in a little bit too. That's part of integrity. But anyway, verses 20 and 21. Go ahead, 19, I guess. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they're dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord gave. Where does that life come from? The Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who's the one that gives life? Who's the one that forms that child in the womb? Whose hands are there in the deepest part of the womb, curiously and wondrously making while the members are not quite written in the book? Who's doing all that in Psalm 139? That's God that does that. He's the source of life. By him all things consist. So the giver of life decides to give, and when he wants to take him out, he can take him out. And that is his business. By the way, whether it is a child, whether it is a parent, whether it's somebody you think is ready for death or should die, or whether it's somebody who's not, God decides when people die. He gives life, he can take it away. And Job with his children, even though he had agonized over their sin nature, admitted what they were capable of, even going so far as to curse God, they are capable of doing that, and spent all that time and all that effort, and the Bible records in the beginning chapter, as I read for you, he did that continually, cared about his kids that much, that it's not something he did once at a grand family annual party. He did that continually for them. He was that concerned about them. When God finally decided that they were all going to be dead, Job worships and praises the Lord anyway. He decides God is right. He interceded for their sin while they were alive, and he surrendered them to God completely when God decided to take them out. So then again, I gotta just think this through with you. If God decides to take your kids to the mission field and you never see them again, are you okay with that? And truly, if you never see them again. I understand as a pastor, again, with a little bit of experience in dealing with people, I like to say that there are ditches that we get in. And I really do believe that. We're on the narrow road, but I think that there are ditches that we get in sometimes. And all the ditch is just going too far in one direction. It might even be the right road, but it's too far in one direction. And so there were for years pastors who basically just left their family in the dust and went into ministry, and then in some cases lost their family because they just left their family in the dust. They weren't home for them. They didn't care about them. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't care. I'm just saying, you get it? The care of the family, taking care of them, because ministry is first. But I've actually heard now many, many times over the last 20 years especially, some jerking to the opposite ditch. And I've heard pastors say, family comes first. That's the opposite ditch, I think. I got to tell you, and we'll get to the next point here when it comes to his wife. Got to remember, God comes first. Now, God did call my wife into ministry with me, believe it or not. Why do I say that? Because we're one flesh. How could I be in the ministry and my wife not be there? And so we're in this together, and I'm glad we're a team. But I have to say, I'm trying to balance that out. If my wife or my children don't want me to do something, but God does, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Whether the kids like it or not, whether the wife likes it or not, God comes first. I don't want to get in the ditch where I don't care. Nurture. Dwell with them according to knowledge, the weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3. But not so far as to say family comes first, and if the church in any way begins to harm my family, I'm ditching the church and take care of my family. No. This is the ministry that God called me to. I want to balance that out, and it's a hard balance. But I think Job is right with this. I think he admits who his kids are. He's well aware of what they're capable of, offers sacrifices for them without re-preaching that whole thing. And then if God decides to take them out, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think Job has great integrity when it comes to his family. And at this time, no idea that he will ever have any more children. At this time, no idea that he will ever have any more children. So what if God takes your children and you have no more? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's Job. And this has all happened when the Lord in chapter 2 says, have you considered my servant Job? He still retains his integrity. That means he had it and tested. He still got it. Good job. But obviously it's not quite done yet, is it? Next, I want you to think with me, if you would, about Job and his wife. Now, I realize, like you do, we don't want to add things. We don't want to go too far. I know Mrs. Job is hurting. I know that. But very similar to what was said about Thomas this morning. If you were here for the morning message, Thomas, having seen Jesus, and Brother Brennan Stone, I think, did a great job seeing Jesus go through what he went through, bloody mess, watching somebody die like that. Yeah, okay, I understand the doubt. But, however, Brother Brennan Stoll, I even talked to him about this afterwards. He agrees, by the way. I don't want to, you know, preach against what he said because he agrees with this. He's right. God's right. Thomas still gets reprimanded for that. Be not faithless, but believing. That showed a weakness in Thomas. That doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord. It means sometimes when your integrity is tested, you mess up. That's what I brought up to the alumni this morning at the Bible study that we had, just thinking about David. He did a lot of great things, and he was a man of great integrity, but again, he messed up with Bathsheba. He messed up carrying the ark on a cart. You don't let those failures keep you down permanently. The just man walketh in his integrity, but the just man also, what else does it say? Falleth seven times and riseth up again. So you got to get back up again. You do that. So your integrity's got to be tested. Sometimes you're going to mess it up. Get right back up there. So having said that, Job's wife, in her statement that she makes in chapter 2, is not right. The statement's not right. And I have to say that the statement's not right. The Bible wouldn't record it the way that it is if it was right. Look at chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And I understand, I know she's hurting too. But 7 through 10, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord this second time, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? As if the last chapter wasn't bad enough. Now it's your own health. You still retain your integrity. Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So had he given into it, it would have been sin. And she was speaking like a foolish woman. Now I've heard, and again, I don't want to argue with any of the other preachers that are here about this. You can talk to me about it later, that's fine. I get it, she's hurting. I know I've heard preachers say that, you know, she was trying actually to get God to be merciful, because if he did curse God, he'd die and be out of his misery. I get all that, but the Bible doesn't really lay it out that way. The Bible really lays it out that that was a foolish statement. Because I don't think cursing God is ever the right thing to do. And that's the point. No matter what you go through, cursing God is not the right option. It's easy to take good. It's easy when things are great. What about when they're not? And why would God allow that? He's just in everything he does. Thank you. I think that fits very well. He's probably testing your integrity. I understand, without knowing all the details, because I don't really care to know all the details, but this church is in transition. And that's great. This is going to show who you are. It will. It'll show who you are. If in finding a pastor, senior pastor, you have in your head what you want, that's going to show who you are. Because I want a pastor that, they'll show who you are. Or are you more concerned about what God wants? And by the way, that might be tough to find, tough to figure out, and you might have to go through some tough things to get what God wants. God is always testing our integrity, and it has to be done to make you stronger and to prove your integrity. I believe Fairhaven is going to do wonderfully. This is a great place. You got some great people, some people who really love the Lord. I'm impressed. I think you'll be fine. But at the same time, I want you to know it's a test. How are you going to do? And by the way, guys like me, no pressure. I'm watching. I want to see how you do with this. And by the way, I'm not just watching, I'm praying. I want you to know that. I'm praying for you. And I believe that you'll do fine, but this is a test of your integrity. And no matter what anybody says, even if in... Okay, so it was Job and his children. The next category, Job and his wife. Even if it's wife, his wife. And I know that these are her kids too. There's another little clue that things weren't great between him and his wife. Look at chapter 19 and verse 17. Chapter 19 of the book of Job and verse 17. Chapter 19 and verse 17. He says, because he's talking about not actually the smell of his breath, but I called to a servant in the previous verse, the things that came out of my breath in verse number 16, I called to my servant. And so this is the context, verse 17. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Those are my kids too. Mrs. Job, I know you're hurting. I understand why you lash out. I understand why Thomas said what he said. But listen, those are my kids too. I alluded to this a little bit ago. I can't give you all the details right now because, again, I would spend too much time talking about myself and I don't want to do that. But what happened to my son in 2019... is he on a Wednesday night while I'm at church, my wife was going to come in a little bit later than me, but I get a text from her that says, Reed's not talking. It seems to be having some anxiety. I said, I'll check with you later. I got to start the service. So I stood up and preached the service, not knowing what was happening with my son. I checked with my wife after the service is over with. She texts back, it's worse. I get home as soon as I possibly can, and he's pushing us away. He's completely nonverbal, will not say a word. Nonverbal, pushing us away, trying to open the door. So we let him go outside and walk then. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we walked. We ended up buying him a Fitbit because we were walking all night long, every night for 5 weeks. All night we were awake. We would take turns. And the only thing we knew is something's wrong with Reed. He's nonverbal. And we had no idea. We went to, I can't even tell you how many hospitals. We went to the local hospital first. They did nothing for us. We went to a hospital in Baraboo. They didn't do anything for us. We went to a hospital in Madison. They didn't do anything for us. It was a nightmare scenario. And he's nonverbal. Reed, what's happening? Nothing. Nothing. We bought him a Fitbit eventually, trying to figure out what's going on with him. And so based on the Fitbit, we were walking approximately 20 miles a day. And it was happening usually during the night. And then he would crash during the day. And then we'd be up all night long again. And this happened for 5 weeks. We finally got into a doctor who did some tests, and I'm telling you, I still to this day feel so stupid about this. It turns out he had a kidney stone. And nobody knew. And the pain he couldn't describe because of his autism. And basically then he went nonverbal for 5 weeks. Now, the reason that bothers me so bad is I've had kidney stones every 5 years since I was 25 years old. And they are some of the most painful things a person could possibly go through. And to think of him going through that with zero pain medication until we finally figured out what it was, I just feel so stupid about that. You know, I've had cancer twice. I had the heart attack. I've been through the military. I've been through some really hard things. I feel, don't test me on this, I feel like I could go through almost anything. Cut my arm off, whatever, God, lay it on me. I can take it. You know what's harder? Watching your son go through that. I don't know if any other parents here would rather go through something yourself than your own kids. I would definitely rather take that than my own children. But it's one thing for me to stand up and say, you know, you got to give your kids to the Lord. It's another thing. I guess I was tested on that. So I understand when I read through this, Job is entreating his own wife. Look, these are the children of my own body too. I care about them. No, I am not going to curse God. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why this is going on. No, I'm clueless. I go forward, he's not there. Backward, he's not there. The right hand, the left hand, I can't find him. Those are my kids too. I love them. But I am not going to turn on God. That's Job's character right there. That's his integrity. With his children, with his wife, I could go through the details and all through there, and we could spend tons of time on it with all of his friends who are now going to tell him how wicked he is, and that's why, because they're so righteous. And I saw a spirit, and the hair stood up on my arms. Ooh, I know what's wrong with you. They're clueless. They're clueless of what's going on in heaven and what's going on in Job's life. So we can talk about the friends. We've talked about his children. We talked about his wife. Lastly, I just want to talk to you about, because I think it fits there too, and I really believe this. I wrote this. Actually, this is a message. It's quite old. Ultimately, this is about his relationship with God. And it truly is. It's about his relationship with God. So I want to talk. I did already. Job and his children, Job and his wife. Now Job and his God. Three things and I'll be done. I want to talk to you about his trust of God, his hope in God, and his acceptance of God. So first of all, his trust. Look with me at Job chapter 13 and verse 13. Job 13, 13. He actually makes this statement here. Job 13, 13. And 13 through 16 of this chapter, his trust. Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth, put my life in mine hands? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. The main reason I read that segment, could read a lot more of it, is just that wonderful statement, because like the Bible tells us several times in the New Testament, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this must be in his heart. Though he slay me, I am going to trust him. I'm going to trust him no matter what my wife says, pain she's going through, pain I'm going through. No matter what my kids do or what God does to my kids. Or even if God kills me, if this kills me, I'm going to trust him. I don't know if you know how that works, but for myself, I have to tell myself over and over and over while I'm going through something hard, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. He's got a reason for this. This is not random. This is not accidental. This didn't catch God by surprise. He didn't wake up this morning and then suddenly realize that the devil put me in trouble and he lost control or track of me. That never happens. God is totally in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. I may be clueless, but he can be trusted. And that's where Job is with this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And in that trust, it feeds into his hope. Chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. This is a somewhat challenging but wonderful scripture song, actually. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. Job 23, 8 through 10. And when you read through this, man, if you've ever been through anything hard in your life, you can kind of feel the agony. Because I don't know if you've ever felt this. And by the way, don't you dare look down your nose at somebody who's having a hard time. Don't be like those friends. God might test your integrity to see what happens with you if he hides on you. Because you might be saying, well, God's never hidden on me. I always know right where he is. Okay, what if God decides to take the feeling of his presence from you? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. And that's great. And I love that. But I have to admit, sometimes it doesn't feel like he's right there. Sometimes it feels like he's left me alone. Now, there are times when I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death and I can feel God right there, and then I'm not worried about a thing. And the day that my wife was intubated and the doctor's on the phone with me saying, hey, the intubation's not working, she's still crashing. I don't know what happened other than God showed up and gave me total peace about it. And I wasn't worried about it at all. At that time, it was right during the COVID mix, and we still had services to do. My son-in-law wasn't able to. He's the associate pastor. I had to record services and put them up on the internet. I got a call at 9 o'clock in the morning and said my wife is about to die, and I had to record a church service at 11 a.m. So I stood up and recorded a church service in the auditorium while I didn't know what was happening with my wife. I don't know. Sometimes you got to do weird stuff like that because God deserves to be served no matter what's going on in my life. And it turns out, by the way, I wish my wife could be here with you now. And I'm planning on bringing her next time I come, if you guys will ever have me back. But she's doing great now. She didn't die. She's doing fantastic. It's a miracle from God. It just really is. But there are times that God feels like he's not that close. There are times that you're going through something amazing and God's right there, and that's awesome. You ever see a parent do this with a kid who's kind of wandering a little bit in the grocery store, where they kind of go in the next aisle and just wait? They know right where the kid is, but they want to see the reaction of the kid. Sometimes it feels like God does that kind of thing. He's still in the grocery store, but he's in the next aisle. I don't know what he's doing, but I guess he's testing me to see if I'll scream. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself. On the right hand, that I cannot see him. He must have disappeared in the next aisle. He's hiding. But you know what you tell yourself? You know what you tell yourself? The next verse. But my way would be saying, he knows where I'm at. I don't know where he is, but he knows exactly where I am. But he knoweth the way that I take. And then, by the way, that leads to the next statement of hope. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth. Now, we like the as gold part. I do too. But this too shall pass. I'm in this trial. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on. But I'm not going to be here forever. I'll come forth from this. There'll be a time when I will say to you, remember when? That's right. And that'll be in the past.
And whatever you're going through right now, there'll be a time if you hang on and don't lose your integrity and don't quit, that you'll look back on this and you'll be able to say, remember when? Man, I'm glad we made it through that. And your hope has to tell you that it will not stay like this forever. Your favorite passage or phrase in Scripture should be, and it came to pass. Because it always does. And Job tells himself that with no visible proof. Because he can't even find God. But I know God knows exactly where I'm at. And I'm not going to be in this position forever. When he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He's trying and testing my integrity. That's all right. He'll help me make it. By the way, whatever you're going through, it isn't as bad as him. And I think that's one of the reasons that Job is there, so that you and I would know, man, if this guy can make it. And if God knew where he was, and that whole thing was set up by God, and it actually ended up being a Romans 8:28, working all things together. Because you know how the book ends, right? If that can happen with Job, it can happen with you. God wants to do that in your life. I often wonder when I'm thinking about the entirety of the book of Job, and I want to find this stuff out when I get to heaven. Hey, God, or hey, Job, or okay, Lord, would you just explain this to me? At the very beginning, were you trying to come up with another way to bless Job? And so you took him through some really hard things so that you could justify blessing him even more? Because he was blessed at the beginning, and then you gave him twice as much at the end. I don't know what's in the mind of God all the time, do you? His ways are not our ways. I don't get it. But he trusted in the Lord. He had a hope in the Lord that he'd make it through. And then this last one is amazing because his kids, he acknowledges, they actually could go so far as to curse God. His wife wants him to curse God. Put that together. His friends think he's wicked. This integrity is amazing. Look at Job 38 and verse number 1, and we'll be done here in just a minute. Job 38 and verse number 1. Read 1 through 4. When the Lord shows up without saying again, you know, hey, Job, this wasn't my fault. It was all Satan's idea. I was just kind of, you know, testing your integrity, but none of that stuff was my fault. God doesn't say that. God shows up, and again, as I've already alluded to, questions Job, questioning him at all. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. And again, you and I could read through that, and I think you probably have in the past, and God never one time explains himself or justifies. He just says, you don't know anything. And it's another thing I have to remind myself of. God does not owe me an explanation. He owes me nothing. It's amazing sometimes how we're like, yeah, you know, I deserve hell, so anything outside of that. But do we really believe that? Because sometimes we act like God owes us an explanation. Because, hey, God, I have served you. You and I got to be careful about that, don't we? Got to remember, God doesn't owe me anything. And then the reason I read that, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now you might look back and say, wow, if Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite, I mean, those guys, what a bunch of idiots. But look at Job 42, 1 through 6. 42, 1 through 6. I love this. I don't know if I can even properly express it to you. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will. Job 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, I will speak a demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor, next word, Bildad. Eliphaz, my wife, my kids, they were so wicked they goofed this all up. Job's integrity is so awesome, he's willing to take the blame for the whole thing. He is willing to take the blame for the whole thing. I abhor myself. Not, I didn't deserve this. I can't believe you did it to me. I can't believe you let those friends and that wife and those kids. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is what's amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, you know that this is true. Because God in the following verses has to go to the others and tell them to repent. Take an offering to Job and Job will pray for you. Because he's the only one that understands repentance. He gets that he should take it. Yep. God's right in everything and I'm the wicked one. Wow. No matter what God does, I'm the sinful one. That God should love a sinner such as I. Oh, how can it be? That's the right attitude. Great song. Great song. That's the right attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, that's integrity. God steps back and says, I got to bless that. And that's how the rest of the book turns out so great in the last chapter. He ends up with twice as much as he had before. Job's integrity was tested. He passed the test. His children were a test for him. His wife was a test for him. His friends were a test for him. His own pride, not finding God the way he wanted to. There are a number of things that tested his integrity, but praise the Lord, he passed them all. And he really did come forth as gold. He did. He retained his integrity. I wonder if when we're tested, even close to Job, if we'll retain our integrity or justify our sin. Because you know, a lot of times people, when you talk about the things in their life that are not right, they start justifying themselves. Well, you know, life's been hard on me. You know, and this has happened and that's happened. Not Job. Would you stand with me, please, and let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go through some of these things with this wonderful character in Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for many, many things that we could think through. And the stuff that I covered tonight really can just be a start of many other things that we can think through in the future. But I thank you, Lord, that you wrote the life and even the spiritual dealings behind the scenes down for us. These things that you did in Job's life so that we can learn from them. And Father, I pray that you would use these things to speak to your people tonight. And Lord, that you'd help us to determine, like Job, to have this kind of integrity that we will not let go of, no matter who around us doesn't have it, doesn't exercise it, or tries to attack it. I pray that our relationship with you would be so strong, Nothing can tear that integrity out of our hands. And Lord, I know that you're looking for that. I know that you want that. I know that you can also give us that, especially now, us, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people. Please bless the invitation time, the personal prayer that each one has, whether it's here at the altar, there in the pews where they are. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.